verses 3 through 13. 2 Chronicles, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, chapter 17, verses 3 through 13. We're going to see a vision for the kingdom. But first, let's once again ask God to bless the preaching of His Word. Father, we have this treasure, Your Word, Your revelation, in earthen vessels, jars of clay. Unless the Spirit of God, whose power is without limit, unless He takes Your Word and brings it with power to human hearts, nothing will be accomplished. And so we pray, Father, that He would be the one to work, that He would be the one to come and teach and change hearts for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God, 2 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning at verse 3. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Azahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, the Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. Here indeed is a vision of a kingdom of power. And what did we read in Acts about what the disciples were to be doing? They were to be seeking to build the kingdom of God. He came and spoke to them during those 40 days before he rose of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He said when he rose that all power in heaven and earth had been given to him, and that we were to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. And so our vision of the kingdom, taken from this passage, as we remember once again that verse that is so important, whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction. The Holy Spirit of God didn't put this information about this ancient king, Jehoshaphat, for no reason. God gave this to us so that we can look and see, well, here's a picture of what the kingdom that we are involved with is to be like. The state of the kingdom of God under this Jehoshaphat, the fifth generation from King David, a contemporary of Elijah the prophet and the wicked king Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel. His name means the Lord has judged. And it provides, what this passage provides for us, is a pattern for us in this day on the kingdom, in the kingdom of our risen, reigning Messiah, the greater descendant of King David. Now that's an important aspect of our Lord's person, that he was the true heir of David. He's the Davidic king. Remember, as he's coming into Jerusalem, the blind men say, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." He is the true son of David, the greater son. Let's look at a few points about the kingdom of Judah under King Jehoshaphat. First of all, it was strong and established. Verse 5, it says, "The Lord established the kingdom in his hand." It was strong, it was firm, it was secure. And in verse 12, we see that it was very powerful. Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. We also have an established and powerful kingdom. Our king is establishing it, and he has all power. We need not be people who are fearful of going into the world, but we go forth into the world in power and strength and certainty of victory in our Lord Jesus. As a leader, Jehoshaphat walked not in vain tradition, but in the ways of his father David, as we see in verse 3. He walked in the former ways of his father David. When you think of King David, yes, you think of some of those faults that he had, some of those great sins that he committed. But what do we also see in King David? Was he not a man after God's own heart? Was he not a man that put God first to the point that his very enemy, who was seeking to kill him, for no other reason than that that man had been anointed, he was the anointed of the Lord, that's the reason he wouldn't touch Saul. I don't know if I could have done that. A man that was out to kill me, and because he was had been anointed, all I did was just cut off a little piece of his robe. That's what David was like. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. God's word was on his tongue, so much that we read in the Psalms, so much that we can pray and take and make our own, was written through King David by the Holy Spirit. God's word was on his tongue. So this kingdom was strong, it was established. The king walked not in vain traditions, but in the way of David. And in the third place, there was a purity of worship. There was a purity of worship under the king in the kingdom of Jehoshaphat. Verse 1, he did not seek the Baals, the pagan gods. Verse 6, the high places and wooden images were destroyed. He kicked out the false worship and he concentrated on the true worship of the true God. In the fourth place, the world was forced to acknowledge him. Now, sometimes I'm so concerned that the Church of Jesus Christ has seemed to become irrelevant in the world today. In former times, the church led the way. The church led the society at large into greater holiness, into greater godliness. But now it seems that wickedness is leading the way, and the church seems to just so often just follow the pattern of the world. But here we see a picture of the world being the tail and the kingdom of God being the head. Verse 10 and 11, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents as silver and tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, brought all these animals. More significantly, perhaps most significantly, the presence of God was with King Jehoshaphat. Our very first statement in our text, now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. So this king took delight in the ways of the Lord, and to us who are serving in the kingdom of Jesus, pictured by this kingdom of Jehoshaphat, the apostolic word comes, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Taking delight in the ways of the Lord, taking delight in sharing in the kingdom. These are key characteristics to pray and strive for in the kingdom today. As Jehoshaphat's Judah was in the land of Canaan, but was not of Canaanite ways, so Jesus' kingdom, as he himself said, is not of this world, but it is in this world, and it is to be salt and light. We, as members of that kingdom, are to be salt and light in the world, seeking its transformation. And from Jesus' statement of that truth before Pilate, all the way to the consummation, when the saints will cry out, finally, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. All along, the truth is that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. As the Lord said to another great kingdom builder of old, Zerubbabel. And so what do we want to do to have this vision of being part of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him, transforming the world, working with Him to build the kingdom? There's a focus on strong teaching. Strong teaching is essential. Let's look at verses 7 and 9 of our text, 2 Chronicles 17. In the third year of his reign, King Jehoshaphat sent these leaders who are named to teach in the cities of Judah. Verse 9, so they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Last week at our evening service, we took that one verse in Joshua, this book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. The teaching was to that effect. And we see teaching in the chronicler's account, our pattern, and that's what we want our vision of the kingdom to include, strong teaching. In other words, if the kingdom in one of its most glorious times under the old covenant, that weak covenant that was passing away and had to be replaced with the new and better covenant in Jesus' blood. If in that time there was a strong emphasis on teaching, how much more today? If the discovery of God's word in the day of another king, namely Josiah, if that discovery affected such a reformation, how much more fruit will solid knowledge of the word bring today? Why is the church so ineffective today? Why is it irrelevant? Why is it the tail and not the head? Isn't it largely because the people of God do not know the word of God, and they don't know how to look at every single area of life through the lens of the word of God, and to take every thought captive, to make every area of life subject to the word of God and live in light of it? Perhaps it's so simple what we need to be about that sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Teaching and learning are a great part of an overall strengthening of the kingdom of God. Proverbs 24, verse 5, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and therefore faith reasons that it is therefore the beginning of that power. If you want to be strong in the Lord, be a man or a woman of knowledge and wisdom according to God's word. This is Father's Day, and I want to apply this particularly to dads and moms, to parents. Where did Christians ever get the idea that the state somehow became responsible to educate their children? The state, the government, is not to be responsible for the education of your children. You are, parents. You are responsible for the education of your children, not the government. Teachers were sent by the king. Jehoshaphat sent the teachers. King Jesus sends his teachers. And that's not just men that stand in the pulpit, as I'm doing this evening, but it's you, parents. You're sent by the king, just as King Jehoshaphat sent his teachers. You're sent by King Jesus to teach your children. King Jehoshaphat strengthened himself, he sought the Lord, and he delegated teaching authority to leaders. The Lord Jesus Christ chose the 12, and he said that they were to go and teach others. Paul exhorted Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Parents are sent by the king to teach their children. Pastors and teachers are sent to the church to teach the church. And so we see then and now that there is a plurality of teachers as well. Acts 13:1, now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. They work together in their various spheres. The Spirit separates Paul and Saul and Barnabas to a specific work. Paul wrote of the sphere of his labors. And so there are spheres of teaching. Let me put in a plug here for such things in the church as Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, men's seminars, women's seminars, occasions where we can be under teaching in a more intensive way. Isn't it foolish to think that in one or even two sermons on the Lord's Day, where we live in a day where the attention span is so short, and a sermon much more than 30 minutes is counted as excessive. If that's the situation we're in, can we really expect much to be accomplished in solidly teaching and instructing the people of God with just that? We need so much more. If we're going to be effective and powerful building the kingdom of Jesus in this world, we need to start getting saturated with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. How? Just, you know, a few little verses here and there. Was that Noah or Moses? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That richly dwelling word is our teaching equipment. The book of the law of the Lord that God told Joshua not to let depart out of his mouth. That same book, the book of God, is our equipment. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Does the man of God need gimmicks? Does he need man-made devices? Do we need a gospel clown? You know, I don't even want to say something like that. You know, we don't want gimmicks to pump up numbers who might attend and build great buildings, but we want the teaching of the Word of God that will affect that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what's the goal and purpose of all of this? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment, or the goal of our instruction, is love. From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Have we been speaking of strength? Hear the word of the Apostle John. I write you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. It abides in them because they were taught it. Did we speak of walking in good ways as Jehoshaphat did? What is the armor of God? Put it on and walk in love. Colossians 1 verse 10 associates a worthy walk with increasing in the knowledge of God. Did we speak of purity of worship earlier? As we are taught the word, our love for God increasingly constrains that we want to be pure in our worship of God. Do we speak of the world and how in Jehoshaphat's day it was forced to acknowledge his kingdom? Well, this is what our Savior said. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, my instructed ones, if you love one another. Love is keeping His commandments, and we must be instructed, we must be taught in what those commandments are from the littlest age on up. I want to just close with three verses that I'll read without comment on the eminence, the importance of teaching in God's kingdom. And I just want to say again that that does not just mean the pastor and his sermons. It doesn't just mean the Sunday school teacher. The vision is for the saints to be equipped to do the work of ministry, for us to be teaching one another, for us to have spheres in which each of us teach, parents teach, others, we teach one another. Three closing verses. Psalm 119, verse 102. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And finally, Isaiah 54, 12 and 13. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Let us pray. Father, we seek you even now to have a vision of life in your kingdom, to have a vision for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ as foreshadowed for us through King Jehoshaphat and the kingdom of Judah in his day, and all the strength and glory of it. Father, may we have in our hearts a burning desire to see the name of Jesus lifted up, His kingdom advancing, leading the way in every aspect of our society and culture, not being irrelevant, but may it be that out of your church come the leaders, come those who set the trends, and may it be unto godliness, unto being salt and light. Father, surely this is the only way that this particular nation, so great in years past for its Christian heritage, it is only as we catch that vision that we will be able to reverse the trend and see this nation restored to righteousness. Father, make us to be of the mindset of warriors, willing to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Indeed, onward Christian soldiers. We pray these things in the name of the great captain of the hosts of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.